The Ticket.
D-E-A-T-H. Where does that spell? Death, 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 death.
It is trifecta time, and that means we are joined by our good friend Donnie Dew, Donovan Lewis,
our seventh Supreme Court Justice.
Hi, Donnie, and I will just say to all of those who are a little unfamiliar, trifecta is where we remember those who have recently passed away. By considering how much they mattered and whether they have the credentials to gain a room in the three-bedroom apartment in the sky. Deej, 604?
604, working on Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's Corby.
Well, I would imagine Bobby Duvall would be interested to know that next in line would be one... Jesse Jackson. Jesse.
The body.
Lewis Jackson. The American civil rights activist, born 1941.
Oh.
Sorry. Born 1941, dead Feb 17 of last week. I was talking about in the break with Bob and Dave. Donovan, where when we were kids, Jesse Jackson seemed to be all over the place. And this was after Jesse Jackson, for those who don't know, was part of the civil rights movement in lockstep with Martin Luther King. He was there on the day that Dr. King got assassinated. I think Jackson got in trouble because he told people that he was the last person that he talked to. So he was below, one floor below, when King got assassinated in the parking lot, I think. And,
in the early morning of April 4.
Indeed. Indeed.
Shot rang out in the Memphis sky.
It did. And you know what? Donovan doesn't know what you're talking about.
Free at last.
I do. You too, song.
Oh, yes!
They took his life, but they could not take his pride.
I worked with Bob for 9 years. He sung it like every day. So
you've heard all of my jokes.
So, yeah, he got a little bit of hot water because he said that Dr. King died in his arms, which I don't think is true. That was disputed by a lot of people in the King family. But whatever. He was part of that inner circle when the civil rights movement was going on. And
he's a pathological liar, but whatever.
No. He was.
We all know that was cutting crew, by the way.
And I also think that after Dr. King got assassinated, after he got assassinated, and there was this race to become the next Dr. King, where it's like, you can't do it. It's like, who's going to become the next Nick Saban? Well, it's not going to happen. You're not going to find anyone as dynamic as Martin Luther King was. Thank you. I just wanted our listeners to.
MLK Jr. was the black Nick Saban.
In a way, Dave, yes, in a way. But you were never going to replace Martin Luther King. And I think that there was a lot of dispute amongst the powers in that movement who was going to take his place. And Jesse Jackson certainly was the closest one to it. But I don't think he ever assumed that role officially, or at least in the eyes of America, that were sympathetic towards that movement. You agree, Donovan?
Man, I don't know. He had a lot of pull, man. He was maybe not as dynamic of a speaker, but in a time in that era where they absolutely needed a voice that would come out and you were risking your entire life for the movement, not just talking out your ass. This was life or death, man. He was right there at the forefront. Well, and he didn't pull any punches about it.
And the fact that he remained in the public eye and relevant through the 60s, through the 70s, to the point where he ran for president twice in the 80s.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we were trying to figure out because, as you know, as the civil rights movement, as it was the thing, Vietnam and the civil rights movement were the thing in the 60s. And then, as you know, we know nowadays, it's still an incredibly important and powerful movement, or it was in the early 70s, but the time started to shift and people became more concerned with other things. Not African-American people, of course, but that didn't become like the main focus. And it wasn't, you didn't see the water hoses and as quote, equal rights and civil rights did come about, people are like, okay, that's over with. And you move on to the next chapter. And as unfair as that is, that's kind of the way it was perceived by America back then. And I thought when he was running for president, when we were little kids, I couldn't for the life of me figure out who, what he did. What because I didn't know. As a little boy, you're not really privy to these types of things. I didn't know who Walter Mondale was either. But he was a major player in the presidency. He finished third in the Democratic primary, his first go around, and then finished second, the second time he ran. Like, he was really, really close. As we talk about, you know, the first black president, he was the first black superpower in politics, I think. Like, modern American politics, right? Like, nobody else was doing that.
No, no, I feel that's right, but it's, yeah, it was just, it became a little bit of a power struggle as far as who was going to be that guy to kind of step in. And around that time, after MLK was assassinated, it was to hell with the turn the other cheek and peaceful protests and all that. And that's when the Panthers kind of came around and it was like, okay, well, if you're going to do something to me, then I'm going to do something to you. So I think that message was kind of falling by the wayside around that time after, because, you know, MLK was, hey, peace, turn the other cheek, we don't retaliate, we don't do that. And then you have Malcolm X and the Black Panthers, all that, saying, hey, you know, eye for an eye, man, we're gonna try and try to take this thing over. So it was such a huge power struggle between amongst a lot of those black leaders that, man, I think sometimes you would get the message would fall a little bit short. And just when you have the infighting amongst yourselves, it's kind of hard to try and get what you want or try to get your message across to other people when you don't have your messages, you know, as one.
Well, and to counteract that, like versus the Black Panthers or Malcolm X, that Jesse Jackson with his Rainbow Coalition tried to broaden his reach beyond just African Americans, just to encompass all minorities. And trying to create a bigger voting bloc that way.
Indeed.
That's how you can win. That's the only way you can win.
Was he a popular player in your house, Donovan?
You know, my parents really, we didn't truly talk about that a ton as far as, you know, the politicizing.
No lawn signs?
My parents didn't have lawn signs for anyone.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that they voted for him, I would think. But I wasn't old enough to vote at the time, so I didn't get a chance to vote for him either time.
Well, he kind of became a celebrity. He was very much
a pop culture figure.
Yes, as much
no
as
doubt.
He was you know, involved in the movement, he became a celebrity. And one of the first times I remember seeing him as a human being and not somebody giving a speech or, you know, making a statement. And I really couldn't believe it, and I think this completely humanized him for a massive part of America, was when Saturday Night Live got him on the air, and Kevin Nealon was doing the news, and this is how Jesse Jackson was introduced.
I read from Sam.
All right. Hang on. So, Kevin Nealon, Dr. Seuss, the actual human doctor. What's his real name?
Theodore Geisel?
Yeah, Theodore Geisel had passed away.
Okay.
And so Kevin Nealon talked about how Dr. Seuss influenced him, and then he said, and to honor Dr. Seuss, here is Jesse Jackson reading from one of my favorite Dr. Seuss books.
I read from Sam I Am. Born of the Latter-day Saint Seuss. You do not like green eggs and ham? I do not like them. Sam, I am. I could not, would not on a boat. I will not with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them on a train. Not in the dark, not on a tree. Not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham.
It was a great bit, and as a kid, I was like, oh, my God, because all these people, regardless of who they weren't real to me. They were just these public figures that kind of came in and out of our lives, and you would see our parents talking about them.
They're on the boring news.
They are, and that really made me laugh. And here is this guy that he very rarely smiled. Like, publicly at least. I didn't see the guy smile very much.
Yeah, he was a very serious, seemingly solemn guy.
Well, it was a serious topic that he was dealing with, right?
Sure, and I think a lot of people worried that he was more into the celebrity than the actual movement and all that, even when it became a little bit looser in the 80s and 90s, you still had a long way to go. So maybe people gave him the side eye there. I know I've been touting this one documentary, Save the Children. I would highly recommend, if you wanted to see him in his prime and you want to talk about a dynamic speaker, they had like a 10-minute speech of his in that documentary that, man, young Jesse Jackson was on it.
That concert?
You
want to
talk about dynamic. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, he is a great orator, and that's why that bit was so funny, too, because he was trying not to break character as hard as he could during while he was reading that.
And his accent, I mean, perfect.
I know. I know. So, yes, Jesse Jackson checked out last week. How old was he? At the age of
80-something?
84.
84, yes.
This documentary is 1973?
Wow. Yeah, so it was lost, right? That was
they aired it. They filmed this 4-day expo in Chicago, and they filmed it, and I think they showed it back in 72, but then the footage went away. So they brought it back, and they just put it out there. I want to say last year, but I may be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. It says it's on Netflix.
It's crazy how much.
All right.
How do you lose something? How does that just disappear? How does a film disappear like that? It is nuts.
And, man, I would think a gathering of a whole bunch of black people for 4 days in 1972 scared the water out of a lot of people.
And, man, that mustache that he had, too, which he never let go, that was a serious mustache. He frightened me.
It's a funny thing to say right there.
Serious, man.
That was a serious mustache.
Lando?
Yes, Worthy.
DJ?
Yes.
Ham?
Worthy.
Donnie?
Keep hope alive.
Well, that'll do it. No matter what we say, I think we all agree that he is in. Jesse Jackson and Robert Duvall currently making up room 6 what?
604, maybe?
604.
604. Maybe we'll get to Sonny Jurgensen next week.
Well, we can only hope nobody else dies between now and then.
I know. All right, Donnie. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, all right, Don.
There he goes. Donovan Lewis from the Invasion 9-1.
Bye, Donnie.